Have on the table here many books, pamphlets, booklets, written by Father Zachariah, a very familiar name, in Egypt. A man who is imprisoned twice and then finally, put out of the country, left the country. Persecuted, severely, a very strong preacher. Many Muslims becoming believers in the Lord Jesus, and that's a crime according to the government of Egypt. And yet Egypt is probably the most tolerant of all the Islamic countries, perhaps outside of Jordan, those two countries. Will you welcome, please, to 100 Huntley Street, Father Zachariah. Welcome, my friend.
I heard a story years ago, and I wanted to authenticate it.
Yeah. It goes back about 1,000 years, and this was the explanation I was given as to why the Christians in Egypt number in the millions, and why they don't have to pay the tax that's levied on non-Muslims in the rest of the countries of North Africa, where the Christians are almost exterminated. Yeah. And it had to do with a challenge from the Muslim king or governor who challenged the believers on a Bible verse. Tell us that little story right off the top, because I've always wanted to hear it from an Orthodox priest.
Yes. Well, it's written in the book of the history of the Coptic nation, written by Madame Prucher, the English writer, author. And it happened in the 10th century. There was a king, a Muslim king, a fanatic Muslim king, and he said to the patriarch, I read in your Bible that if you have a little bit of faith, it's like a mustard seed faith, you can order the mountain to move and will obey you. If you are true Christians, and if your Bible is true, come and order the mountain, Mukattam Mountain, in the east part of Cairo. And we will see if you are true or not. It was a big challenge. It needs a miracle. Then he told the whole people in Egypt to fast for 3 days. And on the third day, they went to Mukattam Mountain, and they prayed and asked God to glorify His name, and then order the mountain. The mountain moved. So the king, the Muslim king, was converted to Christianity and was baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God.
Yeah, how about it, huh?
Praise God.
And that mountain, you can see that mountain. And I'm told you can see where it moved. I mean, this is why. There has to be a reason why in Egypt the treatment of Christians by Muslims is radically different than it was in any other country.
Yeah.
And that's what I was told. My dad went first to Egypt in 1922. My mother followed them in 24. She wasn't married. They weren't married. They had a civil marriage in Cairo, and then down in Esyut, they had a Christian marriage.
Yeah.
And so I just rejoice so much to have you here right now. Our Canadian people are getting to know Dr. David Damian, a medical doctor, graduate of the University in Cairo, and he told me that you mentored him when he was a university student, a medical student. He was one of your assistants, one of your young men.
It's true.
Now, tell us a little bit from your point of view about David Damian. What is there about this man who has led us in repentance in Canada for anti-Semitism? Now he's launching a courtship tour where the English of Canada are going to court the French. you know, flowers and the whole bit. And tomorrow on 100 Huntley Street on Canada's birthday, we'll be featuring David Damien. But I want to know about the young David Damien, a medical student who immigrated to Canada and now has made such an impact on Canada. Tell me a little about David, please.
Yes. David was a young man and a student in the medical college, and he used to come and attend our meetings in Heliopolis. The meeting was twice a week on Tuesday and Thursday. And the students used to come and attend on Thursdays because it is the weekend in Egypt. He was a very intelligent person. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He received Jesus Christ as a Savior and Redeemer and as a King and Master. He opened his heart and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. So Jesus started to use him even when he was a student in the medical college.
And you saw that, and he told me stories about you. He told stories of people being healed, of demons being cast out.
Praise God.
He told me the marvelous things that God did, the miracles that he saw with his own eyes, and this is why he's such a man of great faith.
Praise God. The Holy Spirit is working.
Yeah. Now, I want to know about persecution. Now, yeah. Dale Lang spoke of it from the Sermon of Jesus, the longest recorded message we have from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And he talks about, Dale just taught about persecution. But here in Canada, we don't really know anything about persecution. You suffered persecution. Why? What happened in your beloved Egypt to you, please?
Yes. You know, David, that Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, wrote the Quran. He says that it is from God. Actually, it is not. And there are some verses in Quran orders Muhammad and the Muslims to kill those who do not believe in Muhammad and Allah of Muhammad. Even those, the people of the book, means the Jews and Muslims.
And Christians too?
And Christians.
Yes.
And the Christians, you know. The people of the book. That's why they persecute Christians. And when Islam came to Egypt, under the leader of Amr ibn al-As, he said to the Copts.
That's the original Christians of Egypt.
Yes, the Copts, Egyptians. The whole Egypt was Christians. And he said, there are three alternatives, choices. Either you convert to Islam, or you pay more taxes, which is called in Arabic al-jizya, or to be killed. So the rich people paid the jizya. The poor people who are not standing firm in Jesus Christ, who were Christians by name, converted to Islam. But the true Christians who were poor were killed. So the persecution took place the whole years since the Muslims came to Egypt. They prevent us from building churches. And when we want to repair a church, we are prevented from repairing churches. They want to destroy Christianity in Egypt. When God used me to preach in Egypt, all over Egypt, from Alexandria to Aswan, and in Heliopolis, Cairo, twice a week, many Muslims came to the meetings. Some of them were sick, some of them were possessed by devil. They came to be healed, and God gave the gift to heal and to expel devils. The people with these miracles were converted to Christianity. How it comes? So they started to persecute me. They put me in jail twice. The first time was in 1981. It lasted for about 1 year, exactly 318 days. The second time was in 1989. It would have been for life. But after 4 days without food, without water, I was forced exiled abroad to Australia in 1989 to get rid of me. I was about to be killed in Egypt. The fanatic Muslims wanted to kill me. But praise God that He saved me. That's why Islam, or Muslim people, and the government persecute Christians. They want to destroy Christians. And recently, in 2001, a village in Upper Egypt called Al-Kushah, about 20 persons were killed, Christians, by Muslims. They were not sentenced. They were free. No one of them was put in jail, you know. So Christianity in Egypt is under persecution. So we need all people to pray for Christians in Egypt.
In your services, it says here, for example, in the Christianity Today article, this is the photostat of the cover that I have here of that article, and inside the priest and the patriarch, because the patriarch, or Pope Shenouda as we know him, was also imprisoned at the same time. But it says this about you, describing your ministry. The writer was there in your church in Cairo. He writes in this American magazine about you, at times he's a fiery evangelist, warning authoritatively about sin and death and exhorting his listeners to receive Christ, to cultivate a hunger for the Word of God. At times he is a skilled exegete, carefully explaining the rock-hard meaning of biblical truth. He leads the audience in quoting supportive scripture throughout his presentation. At some points, he also becomes a holiness preacher, pausing after every major section of his talk to identify with his people and to lead them in deeply moving prayers of appropriation of the truth expounded so far. We can be changed. This is a quote from you that this American writer heard. We can be changed right now, at once, he affirms. All over the auditorium, people pray aloud, repeating his phrases. Some openly weep. Now, for prayer, we have telephone numbers on the screen, but I would like you to take two or three minutes, perhaps, and lead us in a prayer similar to the prayer that you would lead your congregation in, as people lined up, according to my friend Dr. Damien, for hours to get a seat in the building there Tuesdays or twice a week. Would you lead us in prayers like this? Someone right now needs to pray the prayer with you, and I want to pray with you also, if I may.
Amen. Amen.
Just look, there's your camera right there, and talk to people and pray with them, please.
Amen. Dear friend audience, I hope that you raise your heart to ask Jesus Christ to forgive our sins, to give us a new life, to enter into our heart,
into my heart, Lord,
and to change our life.
Change my life.
Our Heavenly Father.
Our Heavenly Father.
You know that we are sinners.
You know that we are sinners.
We were separated from you.
We were separated from you.
Because of our sin.
Because of our sin.
But you are loving, Father.
But you are loving, Father.
Dear Father, forgive me my sins.
Dear Father, forgive me my sins.
Accept me as your son.
Accept me as your son.
Cleanse my heart.
Cleanse my heart.
I receive you, Jesus Christ, into my heart.
I receive you, Jesus Christ, into
change my
heart.
Change my life, Jesus Christ.
Change my life, Jesus Christ.
Make me a new creature, Jesus
Make
Christ.
Me a new creature, Jesus
By
Christ.
Your Holy Spirit.
By your Holy Spirit.
Now I accept you.
Now I accept you.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For answering my prayer.
For answering my prayer.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you are in my heart
that
now.
That you are in my heart now.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I read here in this article as well that about 2,000 people stayed behind after you dismissed the service, gave the benediction, and the people left. But about 2,000 stayed behind, and many of them were university students. Many of them stayed because they had responded to your prayer and given their life to Christ. A way that you can stay behind, if you will, is by jotting down a phone number near you and making that call. And I want to invite you now to call, to make it a part of your life. Norman, I want to go to you now, and then please send it back to me. I'm not finished yet with Father Zachariah.
Thank you, David. People are calling on these phones and receiving Christ. Why do we do this? Because the greatest commission that was ever given to humanity, I believe, is found right here in Mark's Gospel, the last chapter, chapter 16, where Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no one that's being eliminated. And it doesn't matter what your religion is. Do you know Christ? That is the question of the hour. Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, Eddie called, and he was watching the program and gave his heart to Jesus. And then Amanda called, and this precious young lady was having some relational difficulties with her boyfriend, and she phoned in for prayer and realized she didn't have Christ in her life and gave her heart to Jesus. And then Joan called in, and she received Christ as her Savior. And something else has been catching my attention here really recently, perhaps more than ever, are people who are rededicating their lives to Christ. Men and women who have once known the Lord, but because of whatever the circumstances, walked away from God and said, Lord, it's too hard serving you. Well, they're realizing that the way of Christ is far better than the way of the world. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But he said, take of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why don't you let Jesus lighten up the load of your life, get rid of the sin. And if you prayed that prayer with Father Zachariah today, I just urge you, make the call. There are wonderful men and women here that'll pray for you right now. Please do not delay. This is your moment. This is your assigned hour. Receive Jesus Christ now. Please make the call. David, back to you.
Now, we asked for a website for Father Zachariah to be put up on the screen. Let's see what we've got. Is it ready yet? Well, you can put our crossroads.ca, and you can find the information there as well. That's all you need to go into Father to find Father Zachariah. Go to crossroads.ca, but I hope to have his personal website up. He does a four-hour chat room with Islam, Islamic imams and scholars and so on, daily, 4 hours daily, all right? There's our crossroads.ca, and the moment we have the other website. Is it ready yet, Michael? It's not ready yet. All right, you go into crossroads.ca, please send it upstairs immediately to get it on our crossroads.ca website. That's my message into the control room. Please help us out on that. This is very, very important. You know, the Egyptian church is very powerful, very alive. I had my oldest sister, Willa, was born in Minya. and Egypt. And I remember the horror that I experienced when I read in our papers that some fanatical Muslims had burst into the church and shot some of the people at prayer in a church in Minya. There is persecution going on in the world today. It's happening right now. The patriarch of Egypt in the Coptic church wrote this. It's a hymn he wrote that they sang in the cathedral in Cairo when this writer of Christianity Today was visiting. And the hymn was this, and I'd like to show you the vibrancy of the faith in Egypt. The patriarch wrote this hymn. Listen to it. Can you feel it? I want you to open your heart and listen to the hymn. Here's the hymn of the patriarch Shenouda. My heart is beating. He was arrested at the same time as Father Zechariah. My heart is beating, leaping for you. I have wished to keep you close in my heart. I have left the whole world to be with you. I have left all except you. Would you give us a blessing just before we move to another area of our program?
Amen.
Give a blessing for Canadians. Would you do that, Father Zechariah, please?
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, God, that you gave me this opportunity to pray for your people in Canada. You created them. You redeemed them. You are knocking on every person's heart in order to open his heart for you. You are very gracious, our Father. You are Redeemer. You are our Savior. You, our good Father. I ask you, God, to bless everybody in Canada. Bless this country. Please, God, that they know you and accept you and enjoy life with you. Please, God, renew many hearts. Dwell in every heart in Canada to know you, the Creator, the Redeemer, the King, the Master of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we have a website now. This ongoing dialogue, Islam-Christianity, is that correct, Father Zechariah, that you see up there?
Yes.
.net?
It. Yes, that's it.
It's an English language website that you have. Thank you. Thank you. Please come again.
Thank you very much.
You know, your congregation in London, England, has been mainly Sudanese congregation. Cal has been working greatly with the people of Sudan to bring them help and strength and sustenance. Here's Cal.